God's grace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about trust. Do you trust God with all of your heart? Do you put your trust in Him? And can we also trust in man? Can we trust in things? If so, how much? Should we just trust in everybody we meet all the time, right away? Or do they first need to earn our trust? And what's the result of trusting in man? What's the result of trusting in God? So let's talk today about trust and see what God would teach us about that through His holy word, the scriptures. First of all, as we think about trust, let's just define it. And I have a definition here from Webster's for what that's worth. Let's see what it says. It says, an assured reliance on the character, strength, or truth of someone or something. And so when we trust, that means to rely on something, right? To put your confidence in it. I like to think of it, it's leaning upon something, putting your weight, in fact, your whole weight on something with your heart. And for that example, let's bring Brendan on up here. Come on up here, Brendan. Let's see if he can do this. He's not really a boy. He's a young man right now, right? So you know what we're going to do. So I'd like to give an example of trust. So do you trust me as your friend, Brendan, that if you will close your eyes, let's come up here, actually. If you'll close your eyes and fall backwards, that I will catch you. Let me ask you a couple questions, Brendan. Do you believe I have the power to do that?
Yes.
Yes. Do you believe I have the character to do that?
Yeah.
Kind of. Okay. Do you believe if I give you a promise, Brendan, I will catch you?
Yes.
Ah, that was a little better, right? So you want to try that? Let's turn around backwards. Okay, let's go this way. And will you fall back into my arms? Go for it right now. I'll catch you. Oh, look at that. Beautiful. Good job. Let's give him a round of applause. Nice job. Good. So Brendan had to know that I had the power to do it, I have the character to do it, and I had a promise to do it. He could close his eyes and fall back and put what? His full weight upon our relationship to trust me to fall into my arms. I want to ask you, is that the kind of faith that you have in the Lord God? To put your full weight upon Him with your whole heart, to just lean into Him for everything. This is what God wants for us. This is the whole purpose of the scriptures, really, to get us to trust in Him like this. Listen to this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Proverbs 3 says. All your heart, trust in Him, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. So you're to lean upon Him, to rely upon Him, not your own knowledge, but on the Lord God. And that's a beautiful, close bond. In fact, I felt great that you trusted me. God feels great when we trust in Him like that for all things. And so we're to trust in the Lord. Now, let me ask, should we also trust in man that way? Do you think? How about all the time, automatically, immediately? You know, there's a real problem, I think, even amongst Christians and in the world, that love and trust go together. You know, we can love our enemies, right? Should you trust your enemies? Love your enemies means do good to them. That does not mean you trust them. Take, for example, a guy who really messed up with this, Samson. Delilah, he loved her, in quotes, in a certain way. And she says, how can you say I love you when your heart's not with me? You've mocked me these 3 times and you've not told me the wherein your great strength lies. And she pressed him hard with her words day after day and urged him, and his whole soul was vexed to death. Was this woman trustworthy? She's just tried to kill him 3 times. And yet he's like, well, I guess if I love you, I'll trust you. And what happened to him? Boom, he goes down. He gets disaster. We're not supposed to trust in human beings like we trust in God. So there's a big problem with trusting in human beings, says the scripture. If you trust in a faithless man, says Proverbs 25, it's like a bad tooth and a foot that slips, right? Oh, it's just horrible. So what should we do first before we trust in human beings or in a thing? What are you going to do first? Test it, right? So God wants us to test. It doesn't mean you can't have any faith in a human being. Brennan just trusted me. But look what it says here in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. It says, test everything. Say the word test. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. When it comes to people in church, Paul's talking about deacons in verse 10 of chapter 3. And he says, in verse 3, he says, let them also be tested first, and then if they prove themselves blameless, let them serve as deacons. So can you trust in human beings a little bit, Dick? A little, right? You trust me or you trust a deacon, but you got to do what first, Erlene? Test, right? Make the person prove, like we did with Brendan. Do you have the power to do it? Do you have the character to do it? Do you have the history to do it? Do you have the promise to do it? Then I can trust you some. In a certain way, I can trust you. So we can trust people a little bit, but you don't give that trust right away to people. That is a huge mistake that even many Christians make. Oh, if I love everybody, I'm just going to trust everybody. No! God says, put no trust in a neighbor. And don't put any trust in she who lies in your bosom. It even says in Micah chapter 7, verse 5. In a time of evil, you have to test everything. 1 John 4 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're of God. People who preach to you, you should test them according to this book, says John. Don't believe everybody. Don't trust everybody. In fact, don't trust anybody, God would say, until they're tested first. How about me? Do you trust me? Yes. Been here 16 years? Yes. Am I giving you this book? Am I preaching to you Jesus Christ? Yes. Have you ever once in 16 years seen me lose my temper or get angry? Seriously?
No.
Never. I don't do that, really. I have other difficulties, but not that one. And so you can trust me to a certain degree, but I say to you every week, test me. Try me. Test according to this book whether the words I'm preaching to you are from here in accordance with the truth. Then believe it. So a lamb always wants to be tested. A wolf in sheep's clothing says, no, no, don't check me out. Don't test me. Just believe me. Don't lift up the wool and see under there my bushy tail. So God says, don't trust people. That's an interesting message. Do not put your trust in man. How about if the whole world believes something, though? Shouldn't you go along with him? What's it say in Revelation 12? The devil is the deceiver of the whole world. He leads astray the nations, says the scriptures. He is a liar and the father of lies. If the whole world's going in one way, don't go that way, because that's the way of destruction. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. The way to heaven is narrow. If you're going across the current of the world, you're probably going in the right direction. And actually, when people are trustworthy, listen to this verse from Proverbs chapter 25, verse 13 says, like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the spirit of his masters. Isn't it beautiful when someone actually is trustworthy? When you can trust them to some degree to do something, it feels great. It's like fresh, clean snow. It's beautiful on a beautiful day. And so hopefully I will be so to you. But the point is we got to test everything. That's why we have the word trustworthy. It's got to be worthy of your trust. It's got to be worthy of putting your weight upon it. Because if you put your weight on something that can't support you, you fall down, it crumples, and you look like a fool. And God says, put not your trust in man. So based on what I've said so far, how much do you think I trust the world? The great institutions of the world. Shouldn't you trust the great institutions? Well, you could have, you know, we all have different degrees of trust. You could disagree with me here, but let me give you a little self-disclosure, okay? I'm going to show you now. Hollywood, movies, and actors. Do I trust them?
No.
I used to. Not anymore. I've studied too much, known too much. How about the government? No, I don't. I know too much. I've studied too much. I used to, not anymore. How about the CDC, Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, Big Pharma? Do I trust these people?
No.
Here's a big point for you. When billions of dollars are involved and massive amounts of power, trust less. Pretty much when you have low people in businesses that are corrupt, trust them more or less. You can, some degree. The higher up you go, usually the worse it gets. So God would say be very aware of such things. How about the media? Trust the media? MSNBC, CBS, Fox News, ABC, CNN. Yes, that's right, because they're the most trusted name in news. Do you trust them? Interestingly enough, I was seeing that between January and now, just a couple months later, they've lost 70% of their viewers, just about. Apparently, a lot of people are not trusting them, even though they're the most trusted name in news. How about YouTube? Do you trust them? Facebook, Twitter, you trust them, Zuleika? No, why? Because you're testing them. You're seeing that they're canceling out anybody who has a conservative voice and is not in line with their narrative that they want. So I don't trust them because I'm testing them. And here's a little key for you. Okay, if you want to be happy in life, don't research. Okay? The more I study anything, things I used to believe in, the worse it gets. It's like an onion. I start peeling off the layers and it starts to stink. And the more layers I take off, the more it stinks. So if you want to be happy and live in bliss and trust everything, go for it. But if you start researching stuff, the worse it usually gets when it gets to the world of man. How about the church, though? Can you trust the church? It depends. You have to test it, right, Vivian? You know, I used to trust every cleric I saw because I'm like, I grew up. I'm like, they're the authority. That's the church. They ought to know the truth. I should be able to go to them. And then in my life, I've met wolves in sheep's clothing who have led me towards destruction. And so over time, by experience, by history, by testing, I've learned when I see a clerical caller, when I used to be like, oh, this person will teach me the truth. Now you know what I feel like? Danger, Dr. Smith. Danger. Run, run, Dr. Smith. I'm like, get out of here. Wilma Robinson or whatever it was. Space, whatever. But when I see a clergyman now, I'm on high alert. Doesn't mean I can't trust them. It means I don't trust them first off. I test them in the book over time, over the course of history. Is this person giving me the truth? Then I can invest some of my weight in that advice they're giving. But otherwise, I don't trust until it meets the test. Now, is that a sad way to live, that I don't trust all these great institutions? You think that's sad? No, it's actually safe and biblical. God says, don't put your trust in man, because the devil's the deceiver of the whole world. You know who's a great example of that for us, who doesn't trust man? Name somebody. Jesus. Good job, Kevin. You know, Jesus here is in Jerusalem in Passover feast, John chapter 2. He's working miracles. Many are starting to believe in him. Verse 24, but Jesus did not trust. Jesus did not trust himself to them because, why? He knew all men, and he himself knew what was in man. So why does he not trust man? Because it's not trustworthy. What's in the heart of a man, according to his other words? Out of the heart comes murder, theft, fornication, adultery, thievery, slander, false witness, lying. So obviously, he knows, don't trust in man. Where is he going to trust instead? God and God alone. That's where he calls us to trust and put all of our weight today. In God, the Lord, alone. He alone is trustworthy. So God's telling us today, I want you to trust. Trust is good, but you've got to place it in the right place, in something that will support you, right? So some people might meet the test to a certain degree, but we're not to trust man first off. And where does the world place their trust? Money, power, prestige, worldly strength, armies, weapons, demons, false gods, idols, their own wit, their own cunning, their own sharpness, their own capabilities, their own strength. In a word, the flesh, their own arm. Isn't that true? We're surrounded by a world that trusts in flesh. And listen what God says about that in Jeremiah 17. He says, "Cursed, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man, who makes flesh his arm, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He'll dwell in parched places of the wilderness and in uninhabited salt land." So the word so far today is trust is good, but don't put it in man. Or if you do, be very careful about that. But where should you place it? Greg, where should you place your trust? 100%. In the Lord and the Lord alone. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He says in Proverbs chapter 3, put your whole weight on him for what? For your life, for your health, for your wisdom, for your discretion, for your strength to meet the day, for your success, for victory, for deliverance, for salvation, for everything in life. If your heart is going to lean on something, God says, trust me. Why? Because he's trustworthy. Number one, he has the power to do anything. Created the world. Number two, he has the character to keep faithful to you. He's always faithful. Thirdly, he has the promise to you in Jesus Christ to save you and to help you. And his history is a 100% perfect record. So where's your heart today? You trusting in him? Putting your heart on him? The Bible says, trust in the Lord forever. He's an everlasting rock, Isaiah 26. Psalm 125, trust in those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. Psalm 56, in God I trust without a fear. What can man do to me? For he will deliver my soul from death. Yea, he'll keep my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. That's where God wants your heart and trust today. So are you perfect in this already? Anybody perfect? Perfect? No, we're growing in this, right? Trust can grow or it can be broken. And God will always build your trust in him because he never fails. And I'd like to share the story of our little cat, Gracie. We had a cat, our Beth did, in Maine before we were married. She found this little kitten out in the cold. It was abused, forlorn, forsaken under a porch in the dead of dark, cold, icy Maine winter. And it was shaking and terrified of the world. The world is a cruel place. Well, being Beth, of course, you know Beth. She has to bring this into her apartment. And what do you think this little cat did to start out, Christine? Was it all warm and fuzzy? It cowered forever, for a long time that is, in the closet, wouldn't come out, terrified of everything, no trust. Beth, you know what she's like? What's she like, Art? Steady, consistent, gentle, kind. Pretty soon, cat comes out, gets a little milk. After a couple days, starts to come out a little more. Couple of days later, starts to wander around the apartment. Okay, this girl, she's a good girl. I'm starting to trust her. Pretty soon, you actually get the touch, a first touch. And then after a little while, well, where's Gracie? Sleeping on Beth's lap. Is that the way God works with us? He's building your trust today through history, through how he takes care of you daily by his kindness, faithfulness, care, consistency, gentleness. Think this week on how God continually loves and blesses you. He's growing your faith until, like Gracie, you can fall asleep on the Lord's lap. Or, like Jesus, you can fall asleep on a cushion even in the middle of a storm because you trust in the Lord. What's another way God builds our faith and our trust in him, though? By consistent kindness and cares, and also by storms. So, he gives us pain. He gives us adversity. He gives us tough times to build our trust in him, which has a great yield and fruit to it. Think about Abraham and his life, right? You will have a child after he's terrified, upset that he won't have a little child as an heir. He has to wait for 25 years. That's a storm. Things are getting worse. You'd think, hey, we're getting older. This is terrible. But what do we read the scripture says? Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith, fully convinced that God was able to do what he'd promised. And he got the answer. So notice, God didn't just coddle and coo and lead him along to give him trust. He does that too. But he gives him a hard time. And through the adversity and the storm, his faith became marvelous. Is he doing that with you?
Yes.
Think of what he does with Job. He sends upon him storm after storm after storm until Job finally says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And he knows the way I take. When he's tried me, I shall come forth out of this like gold. Is that what God's doing in your heart?
Yes.
To put into you a trust through your adversities and storms that you eventually say, no matter what, God, I don't care anymore. I just trust you. It's going to work out. I'll come forth as gold. He's done that with me. You know, I've got off. You know my story. I've been through dangers sometimes at sea, dangers in Beth's delivery of Naomi, dangers with the ELCA Lutheran Church when they attacked me, dangers through weekly difficulties and struggles. But as I go through these things, tough times, I get more and more trusting till eventually I can sleep on his lap, or getting better at it, or fall asleep on the cushion in the storm, just like Jesus did, trusting in his Father in the storm. Corrie ten Boom, who went through the torture of the Nazis, wrote this. She said, you don't know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. She eventually learned, when all support is stripped away, he then is all my hope and stay. He will never fail you. Even if all the flesh strength of your arm fails, God never fails you, says the Lord. And can you trust in him at all times? Well, take a look at Psalm 9, verse 10. Here's the promise to you. He says, Psalm 9, verse 10, over here, says, those who know thy name put their trust in thee, for thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken those who seek thee, who trust thee. So what kind of a track record does he have for us, Michael?
Perfect.
100%. He's never once in the history of eternity failed. 100%. He saved Abraham. He saved Job. He saved me. He saved Daniel. Oh, Daniel, has your God in whom you trust been able to deliver you from the lions? Here I am. He shut the lions' mouths. How about the men thrown into the fiery furnace? Well, they came out alive, and the king says, blessed be your God, for no God can deliver in this way. The God in whom you trusted and set ought not the king's command. Wow, he's amazing. He's always faithful. He never fails you. And you'll find that out through his tender mercies by the day, and by the adversities that he never departs. He upholds you. He strengthens you with his almighty outstretched right hand and brings you through alive. This is our God. Put your 100% trust in him. And he's done that for us, most especially in our salvation in Jesus Christ. If you want proof, if you want a test before you put your whole weight on him, think about this. That while we were yet sinners, says the scripture, Christ died for us. That's the love he has for you. When you were rebels, when you were his enemies, even then he showed perfect faithfulness to die, to reconcile you to himself. And while you're enemies, you were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Now much more that you're reconciled shall you be saved by his life. So he's totally trustworthy, and you're saved through putting your trust into him. For to one who works, his wages aren't reckoned as a gift, but as his due. But to the one who, watch this, does not work, Romans 4, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly person, that person's faith is reckoned as righteous. So if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father says, righteous, accounted as acquitted, forgiven, redeemed, we're friends. Put your trust in that today. There's nothing solid, more solid you can put your trust in than that. For the rock, his way is perfect. All his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness without iniquity, just and right is he. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Therefore, I will trust in him forever. So, conclusion word today on trust is trust is good, but don't put your trust in man. Test everything. Some people you can trust, some, but I wouldn't go trust in me to save you from eternal from death. There's only one person who can do that. That's God the Father through Jesus Christ the Savior. And this is our trust. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in thee, in the God whose word I praise. And God, I trust without a fear. What can man do to me? For when I call, he will answer me. He'll be with me in trouble. He will rescue me and honor me. For he has promised long life to me. He will satisfy me with that and show me his salvation. Amen.